Special guests. We spoke to Ashraf Patel, one of our special guests, and Professor Ahmed Jazbai, fantastic guest that we always have on. Back on with us, Professor. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Shukran for having me.
Good to have you on always, Professor. Now, Qatari sources confirming to Al Jazeera that Hamas and the U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff have reached a draft, and I'll place emphasis on that because people were kind of going off on a tangent and then omitting the word draft, Professor. A draft ceasefire agreement in Doha. So it's a proposed deal that looks at a 30-day truce, release of 10 Israeli captives alongside the remains of several others, and in exchange, Palestinian prisoners that will be released in two phases. So the reports are showing us 5 hostages would be freed immediately, the remaining 5 released on the 60th day. I'm not wanting to be pessimistic. We want to view this broadly. Professor, we welcome this draft ceasefire agreement, but emphasis on draft. And again, we know the settler colony and its track record for a humanitarian pause and the previous volatile ceasefire agreement. So consequently, we should be wary here.
Yes, MJ, you know, yesterday when I caught wind via one of my sources of this, and, you know, we had sent out a press statement early yesterday morning about this, it was very carefully worded in the sense that it was potential ceasefire. You know, the way I had written it in this, it was in a way in which I said, is it the dog that wags the tail or the tail that wags the dog? Mm. And I think here, whilst we have in principle an agreement, it all depends here on the power of the Zionist lobby to change this. Because what we have is an agreement, and with American guarantees that, you know, the war will not resume. What it appears to happening at the moment, if I may just give some background information, is that there seems to be a misalignment. And since the Trump presidency, and, you know, we know that Trump doesn't do things in an orthodox way, there seems to be a misalignment between American imperial interests and the Zionist vision of a greater Israel. And this misalignment is now showing itself out and manifesting in this relationship between Trump and Netanyahu. We know that Trump went over Netanyahu's head and made a deal with the Houthis, which we saw that the Houthis not attack the United States, but the Houthis continue to attack Israel. We've seen that they are in the process of making a deal with Iran. Against the wishes of Israel, and they went against Israel to negotiate the release of Eden Alexander, I believe his name is, the last live American hostage that was held by the resistance in Gaza. So we see there's this misalignment with American imperial interest and Zionist vision for a greater Israel. And Trump wants this war to end because he appears to have made a deal with the Qataris in the background, what we don't know, to in exchange for those trillions that he has received to end this war. And his American interest does not see a greater Israel in the region. Was they willing to overlook, you know, Zionist infractions in Lebanon and taking over more territory in Syria, part of the Great Israel? It does not align with totally with that Greater Israel project or vision at the moment, which is why we see the Americans going over the Zionist head and trying to make a deal, a ceasefire down the throats of Netanyahu and his right-wing goons. Now this is where it gets really interesting, because now we'll know if this ceasefire does not manifest in the next few days, we know who's really in charge in DC, and that is AIPAC, the Zionist lobby. If this deal does work out, then we know that the Americans still have leverage and influence and can change things if they want to. And the Zionist lobby is not all powerful. So this is where we find ourselves at the moment, a bit of a crossroads.
Indeed, Professor, a crossroads, because on the one hand, you're kind of getting quiet echoed sentiments coming from Tel Aviv, yes, that we may be in agreement in respect of this draft ceasefire proposal, but then your actions that you are perpetrating in the occupied territories, Gideon's chariots, ground offensive, you're continuing to bombard, kill innocent civilians. The genocide continues unabated. You were talking about 100 trucks of aid, and now you are regulating who is allowed to bring the aid in because it's coordinated, and I put that in air quotes, Professor, coordinated by apartheid Israel and the United States. They have set up a foundation now collectively responsible, again in air quotes, for allowing aid in. And you're talking about 100 trucks of aid. We understand that only 20% of that 100 is practically going in. And then when it enters, it's the same entities, Washington and Tel Aviv, that are paying mercenaries to loot those trucks of aid that are entering and then claiming it's actually Hamas that is doing it. So you're literally creating one false flag operation after the other. So certainly as humanitarians, we should then be wary of what the supposed draft ceasefire deal is. And then you're calling up thousands and thousands of reservists saying that your so-called actions in the Strip will probably still carry on up until August, September 2025. So it appears to me that there is, beyond, Professor, a double-edged sword that is at play here.
Yeah, you know, when it comes, firstly, when it comes to this humanitarian aid that is getting in and stuff, you're perfectly right. It's being sabotaged from the get-go. They are really calorie counting to the bare minimum to ensure there is not mass starvation. There is starvation, there is malnutrition, there is famine to some extent, but it's not mass. So it's carefully controlled. And of course, given the desperation that is in Gaza, it is not too difficult to cause chaos. On the other issue of the potential ceasefire, what we've seen from previous ceasefires, not only in this round of the genocide since Tufan al-Aqsa, we've seen this since 2009. Whenever there's a ceasefire on the cards, Israel will intensify it. You know, Netanyahu is trying to balance, you know, his his closeness to the Americans and his allegiance to the Americans as their client state in the region, would internally he need to satisfy the likes of his right wing goons, terrorists, Bezalel Smotrich, Itamar Ben-Gvir, and his other Knesset members and his other ministers within his cabinet. Remember, it's a coalition. He needs to satisfy a lot of people. He relies on them to stay out of prison as well as keep the war going. So all of these things intersect. You know, to me, it's always been as simple as this. If Trump, in the same way as Biden, just needs to make one call to Tel Aviv and this genocide will be over. But unfortunately, we know the power of the Zionist lobby in the United States. It is an open secret that they finance thousands of congressmen and senators since the 1960s and continue to do so. So we will know now, as we come back to this point, whether it's the dog that wags the tail, the tail being the Zionists, or whether it's the other way around, the tail that wags the dog. And my hunch, unfortunately, is that, you know, it can go either way right now. Trump has shown that he's not an orthodox president. And, you know, at the beginning of his presidency, he had to sing the tune of the Zionists because, you know, we know Miriam Adelson, amongst other Zionists, gave him 100 million big ones. and he needed to satisfy that. But now, remember, he's trying to rein in American defense spending. You know, apparently they've spent, the official figures say $1 billion in trying to defeat the Houthis, and they failed. But in reality, Professor Sami Al-Aryan, another Palestinian from Gaza who is in Turkey at the over the last few years, has told me that they spent close to $7 billion in a few months. Right? So that is all money that is being wasted. And the American fiscus, which is $36 trillion in debt, cannot handle this. And he needs to rein in spending. If he allows this war to go on, that is more American money going, without any attachment to the settler colony. So he's thinking about it. Remember, Trump, we must understand, is a transactional president. Yeah. You know, many people criticized our president for his performance there. But to be honest, he didn't do too badly. He didn't fall into a trap. Mm. But we digress. What you need with Trump is transact with him. And he can see these billions of dollars being wasted on the Zionist entity. And he wants to see results for that. He's not seeing results. And his own intelligence services tell him that he will not see the defeat of Hamas, the defeat of Islamic. He will not see that. So now he is trying to override the Zionist lobby. Whether he'll successful or not is anyone's guess. It will take a very brave analyst, MJ, to say one way or another whether we're going to have a ceasefire. We'd love to see a ceasefire. Because we've seen the sheer scale of the suffering of the Palestinians. We've seen it. But it will take a very brave analyst because right now it's 50-50 whether the dog wags the tail or the tail wags the dog. Mm. And that's what it comes down to, which is who is more powerful in this instance, American imperial interest or the Zionist vision for the greater Israel.
Very, very valid points being made by our special guest, Professor Ahmed Jazbai. We'll probably know in the coming days or coming weeks. And as you say, Professor, our hearts and our souls' desire is for a permanent ceasefire into the occupation, into apartheid, into the genocide, so that the Palestinians once and for all can be free. But certainly something we should watch. Professor Jazakallah, thanks so much once again for joining us on PM Drive and Voice of the Cape.
Jazakallah, shukran for having me.